Hey, I'm Ethan. I've been coming to Academy for about a little over 13 years, and I wanted to share a moment that I had. I was getting my hair cut a few months ago, and that kind of makes me and my barber captive to each other for about 45 minutes. So, as you do, you start talking about your week, and we got on the subject of books that we've been reading. So I got to tell him I was reading Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and that kind of piqued his interest. He'd always sort of wondered if Jesus really was who he said he was, so I had my copy in my car and I just left it with him there. And so now whenever I get to go get my hair cut again, I just get to talk to Gabriel and say, hey man, hope you're doing good. Is that book treating you well? So just a good way to get God on people's radars.
That's an excellent way to get God on people's radar and a great example of an everyday missionary moment that every one of us can have. So we just want to give you some examples. I just encourage you when you're out and about, look for those opportunities that God places in front of you to get God on somebody's radar. That would be awesome. Well, I'm so glad you're here today. Glad for you here in person today. Love seeing some spots of orange out there for some special occasion today. Also want to welcome those that are joining us online and over at our Westside campus. We really are glad you're here. And, you know, as I look out at this crew today that are all here, I would say we are all so different. It's pretty obvious. And some of you are going to be more ready for what we're about to do because you've been raising your hands in worship. But I'm going to actually ask you to raise your hands and respond to some samples here that really show how different we all are. So, for example, who wakes up early here without an alarm? You don't need an alarm. You just wake up early. Okay, plenty of those people. Who of you needs three alarms to get out of bed? I bet there's a few of those that are here as well. Who of you here likes to have things all planned out? You like to have your ducks in a row before you start. Who here would prefer just to fly by the seat of your pants? There's been plenty of those that are here as well. I'd be interested to know who here would say you are a verbal processor. You like to talk things out. Those that are around, please notice them. If you want to have a conversation later, they'd be glad to have a conversation with you. Who likes to just think things through in your head, though? Yeah, there's plenty of those as well. It kind of goes back and forth. I'm wondering, who has a hard time falling asleep at night because your mind is wide awake? Anybody here? How many of you, though, and there's been a lot of those, as soon as your head hits the pillow, you're asleep? Yeah, there's a lot of those. We're all jealous of you if that's you and it's not us. Well, it is true. We are all so different. But it's also true that we are all so much alike. And let's find out about that. How many of you, even after a full night's sleep, have still woken up and been tired? I think I have. Man, I thought I know to stay in bed. Don't want to get up. Who of you here have ever really kind of worried about something and then it didn't turn out to be such a big deal? Yeah, all of us have had that experience. Who here ever regretted something that you either said or didn't say? All right. And last one here. How many of you have ever learned something important the hard way? I bet we all have. Every one of us here has enrolled at least one class of the School of Hard Knocks. Now, we could go on, but it should be obvious that not only are we all so different, but we are also a lot alike. And I just share that because we're in the third week of an 11-week series that we're calling Rolling with the Rock. And we're exploring the life and the ministry and the writing of one of the most prominent characters in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter's name had been Simon up until the day that he met Jesus. And when Jesus met him, he said, Simon, we're going to change your name to Petros or Peter, which means rock. And that's why the question I would ask this morning is, why are we rolling with the rock all of these weeks? Well, I think it's because Peter's life provides a great opportunity to learn about Jesus' patience with people and his ability to take average, everyday people and turn them into lifelong followers of him, of Christ. And I think the reason that we have actually been provided such a transparency into Peter's life is because it gives the average person some hope. Because I think a lot of us actually kind of relate to Peter and who he is and what he did. And that along with what the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we could have some hope. And so if you've been here, you know we've broken down our look at Peter's life into three phases. Peter, the man, and the myth, and then the legend. And Peter the man, we know, started out, he was impulsive, he was outspoken, he was pretty inconsistent. And the myth that we looked at that he exposes is that you can be You can actually mess up beyond restoration. That's a myth. Because Peter messed up big time and was restored and eventually became a legend in the biblical world. And so last week, we left Peter by the seashore. I don't think he was selling any seashells because he still got to be on Team Jesus. And after Jesus has that restoration moment, he decides to inform Peter of the rocky road that was in front of him. And here's what Jesus said to Peter in John 21, verse 18. He said, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself. You got to go where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and is going to lead you where you do not want to go." And I think what Peter or Jesus was trying to tell Peter was, hey, I've invited you to follow me, but following me is actually going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some control in your life, some of your comfort. It may even cost you your life. And the reason we know that was in the mix is because in verse 19, the Bible says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. How'd you like to end with that? And then he said to him, "Follow me." And so Peter was finding out here that following Jesus meant that sometimes his life wasn't going to go the way he thought it would, but that he should still follow Christ. And so I would say so begins Peter's legendary transformation. Because he went from someone who was afraid to admit his association with Christ to actually taking bold public stands in the face of some serious repercussions. And so I think we could call Peter the legend as a story of a lifelong spiritual leader that was shaped by both suffering and hope. Now, as we learned after Peter's denial, Jesus didn't shame Peter. He didn't sideline him. He restored him, and then he commissioned him to lead other people. And so Peter became what we would consider in faith circles, I mean, a real legend. And there's at least several good reasons to consider him being a legend. I've got a few in the notes there. I think for starters, he was actually given the privilege and the honor to be the primary spokesperson when the church launched. I mean, the guy that was up front. And see, when Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, "Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom," that's literally what he did. He said, "Hey, you get to be there when the church gets started. You're going to be the opener." And all of that actually took place on a major Jewish holiday that was called Pentecost. And it would mean thousands of Jews from all over would make the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem about 50 days after the Passover. And they would celebrate the completion of the grain harvest and think about God's provision and his faithfulness. And so it was on that day that God chose to launch the church through the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the very first gospel presentation that was based on the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And that message would be delivered with Peter as the primary communicator. And here's how it unfolded. That morning, without warning, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. They were filled with spiritual power, and they even spoke in other languages. And if you remember from last week, when we looked at Peter's denial of Jesus, where he kind of chickened out when the pressure was on, but we're going to see after the resurrection, it changed all of that. Because we discover a very different kind of Peter the next time he was on the hot seat. Because on that particular day, Peter got up and preached clearly and confidently. And at the end of the message, 3,000 people believed in Jesus and were baptized. Peter was now no longer afraid to take a stand for Christ. And we see that in the second reason I think he could be considered a legend is because he boldly stated he was going to obey God rather than men when he was reprimanded by the Jewish leaders of that day. And we read about that in Acts chapter 4. The apostles had been taken into custody because they'd been telling people about Jesus. And even though there was the possibility of some physical punishment, maybe even death, Peter didn't even wince, but spoke boldly to those Jewish religious leaders in Acts 4:19. He just said to them, "Hey, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges." But as for us, we can't help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. And then in Acts 5, because they didn't stop when they were told, they were taken into custody again. And this time Peter had similar words in Acts 5. He says, we must obey God rather than human beings. Well, then we find out that after a strategic reprogramming in Peter's life, he got to open wide the door to faith in Jesus to all of the Gentiles. Now, you got to realize that Peter's religious upbringing had created some serious prejudice in his life towards the Gentiles. The Jews, many of them, hated the Gentiles. And a Gentile, if you don't know, was just anybody who was not a Jew. But through a series of some visions and then another outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10, we find that God stretched Peter's understanding of grace, and he got to unlock the kingdom of God for the rest of the world. And then he started to have greater impact in the world, because number four is he became a spiritual shepherd of a large geographical area. After ministering in what is now modern Turkey, Peter actually took the time to write two doctrinal letters to encourage those brand new Christ followers. And he gives the region he was working in when he starts his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, I just want to remind you, next week we're going to jump in and start working our way chapter after chapter through Peter's Holy Spirit-inspired teaching in 1 and 2 Peter. I think it's going to be helpful for all of us. Well, when we get to the end of the story, he finished well because he died a martyr's death for his faith in Jesus Christ. And church tradition, it's not in the Bible, but church tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome because he refused to die like his Lord, didn't figure he had the right to die like Jesus died. So the question would be then, well, then what can we learn from Peter's life? And I think the life of the Apostle Peter is one of the most honest, because we know everything almost about him, and hope-filled stories in the Bible. And his journey is not about some flawless follower of Jesus, but rather a guy who messed up a lot and yet became a transformed disciple. And so I think there's at least three major takeaways that we could glean from Peter's life. The first would be, hey, you know what? God calls ordinary people, not finished products. And that's where most of us would find ourselves. But Peter's life began just as an ordinary fisherman. He was impulsive. He was outspoken. He was often wrong. And yet Jesus saw not just who Peter was, but he saw who he could become. And the good news is that's what Jesus sees in all of us. Not just who we are, but what we can also become. And as with Peter, God doesn't wait for you to be ready. He grows you as you follow him, which I've got to say is honestly the story of my life. God has grown me as I followed him, and I'm literally still growing. Which is the second thing we learn from Peter, and that is that growth, it's a process. It's not just a one-time event. And that's why failure doesn't disqualify you. What failure does is actually reveal where your faith maybe still needs to grow. And so, for example, when Peter trusted his own resolve, but then collapsed under pressure, denying Jesus three times, he just discovered at that point where his faith really needed to grow. Which it did, because after encountering the risen Christ and being filled with the Spirit, he was able then to speak boldly before both crowds and councils. And again, that growth process is so important. And I can remember some 40 years ago when I graduated from Bible college, I had this head full of knowledge, thought I knew a lot, but didn't realize how much I still didn't know and how much I still needed to grow. And I would just say the older I get, the more I recognize how much I don't know and how much I still need to grow. In fact, I love a statement made by somebody. I think it's true. It said, it's what you learn after you know it all that actually counts. And hopefully we get there in life. And then I think the third thing we can learn from Peter is that God can use your past to be an encouragement to other people. And I think there really is some truth to the fact that people say, hey, misery kind of loves company. And it's interesting, on several occasions during the last couple of weeks, I've had people come up and just say to me, wow, I've loved this series on Peter because I so relate to Peter. I understand, you know, what he's going through. And so I would just encourage you, your story, especially even the broken chapters, can literally become someone else's hope. Because honestly, people might be impressed by your victories in life, your successes, but what they're going to connect with more is probably your failures. Well, after Jesus had revealed to Peter how his life was going to end, he then offered just a simple two-word invitation. He said, "Follow me." And the legend of Peter's life was actually formed over his lifetime because Peter chose to follow Jesus faithfully to the end of his life. Now, because Peter's life was 2,000 years ago, it's so far removed, people might say, what value does it hold? Well, here's what I want us to focus on today. There is a reality, I think, for most of us. And let's be honest, it's unlikely that any of us will become a legend. Other than in our own minds, we might be a legend there. But that doesn't mean that you can't develop yourself what we would call a legendary faith. That is within the grasp of every one of us here, because a legendary faith is just a faith that lasts your entire lifetime. And some of you are new, some of you have been around a while, but we just want you to stay faithful all of your life. And so how does one acquire a legendary faith? Well, it's built and grown through intentional choices of following Jesus with enduring perseverance. See, the only way to arrive there is what I would call through a long obedience in the same direction. And it's going to be long. It's going to be long. You know, because most people actually accept Christ before the age of 16. And we know now that life expectancy is in the 70s and the 80s. And so what that means is that's going to require 6 or 7 decades of continuing to walk faithfully with Christ. And when I think of somebody who has a legendary faith because it's lasted a long, long time, honestly, it would have to be Richard Crabtree. Richard was actually a pastor here at Academy from 1983 to 2001. After that, he served as an elder and adult Bible fellowship leader. And I got to say, in spite of challenges and difficulties and setbacks, he has continued to follow Christ all of his life, well into his 90s. But it'd be probably better if you heard from him rather than me. So let's listen.
Well, I grew up in a strong Christian home. My father and mother were both very active in the church, and so the church has always been a part of my life. In fact, as young as I think 8 or 10 years old, I used to say I wanted to be a preacher when I grew up. I kind of wavered in that from time to time, but I came back to it. And in 1946, I left Southern California and went to Cincinnati to enroll in the Cincinnati Bible Seminary. And then my first full-time ministry was in 1950, and that was when I was ordained. So it's been more than 70 years that I've been in ministry. I have considered it a great privilege to serve Christ and the church. I would not have chosen any other way of life, and I have been blessed in many different ways. There have been times of difficulty, and always are, but Christ always carried me through, and I look back upon a life that I have appreciated so much.
Going through the difficulty of losing your June and Steve.
Yes.
How did you go through that and maintain your faith through those hard times?
Well, it was a tough experience, no doubt about it. I guess the thing that carried me through is my very basic faith. That there is more to life than just life here in this earth. And because of the confidence that I had in the promises of eternal life in Christ and the confidence that I had in their faith, this, I think, made those painful experiences less difficult to bigger. It's hard to lose someone that's close to you. June and I were married for over 50 years, but and Steve died at age 60. So I greatly regretted losing them, but I felt there was more to life and something better than this life that awaited them. Through the years, I think my confidence in God has become stronger rather than less.
So can you tell everybody next month what's the date of your birthday and then how many years you'll have lived?
On February 11th of next month, I will be 98 years old. I have come to the place in life where I no longer buy green bananas. Realize that I'm on a... Years ago, I saw a statement that I have remembered. It said, life hangs on a very slender thread, and no one knows when this thread will break. So I have kept that in mind all my life. God chose to let me live for an incredibly longer time than I anticipated. But we never know. I recognize that there are not going to be many more years, but I do not face that with fear. I like to think that I can face it with anticipation.
You know, Dick wouldn't want to be called a legend. To me, he's a legend, but I do know this. He has lived a legendary life. All of his life has been faithful to God. He reminds me of Paul, who said in 2 Timothy 4, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. And that would be my hope and my desire for everybody in this room, that you would keep the faith. But we need to understand that the road to a legendary faith, it's going to be lined with detours and distractions. It'll contain a few potholes as well as some pretty steep inclines, which I think has to be reason why Jesus actually chose to address some of the hindrances to building a legendary faith. And my desire would be to inspire each of you, no matter what age you are, to build a legendary faith, because Jesus offers the same invitation to you and I that he did to Peter. Follow me. And there's only one kind of response that will lead you to the kind of faith that is legendary and lasts a lifetime. And I'm talking about when Jesus, he often, when he wanted to illustrate a spiritual truth, he would tell a story. And one day he told a story about a farmer to describe really four possible responses to his invitation to follow him. And it's found in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus tells a story about a farmer who went out to sow his seed. And it says as he was scattering his seed, because that's how they planted back that, then some fell on a path and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some of it fell on some rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they didn't have any root system. Other seed fell among thorns, which those thorns grew up and then actually choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced crops 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, if you'd heard Jesus say that today, you might be thinking, well, thank you, Jesus, for the lesson in agricultural practices. But what does that have to do with my life? Well, good question. Jesus actually revealed that the seed represents God's word or his truth, and that there are four very different kinds of heart conditions that the soil represents. And so what he says is that the seed that was sown on the path, that's going to represent a hard heart. Now, because it's a path, the dirt has become hardened so that the seed can't even penetrate it. And that allows the evil one to come and snatch away what was sown in that person's heart. And I see that happen at times, because the challenge is when you step into God's word, it's going to make clear who is God and who is not. And it will always not be us. And so I've seen some people come to church every week, but because they're not able to trust God enough to give up control over their lives, they're not willing to let the truth of God sink into their hearts at all. And that might be a place where you've sat or where you're sitting. And then he said the seed sown on the rocky soil, that represents really a shallow heart. And these are the people who, they hear the word, they said, wow, that sounds great. God's grace is amazing. They receive it with joy, but they've never put down any spiritual roots. And so they only last a small time. When there's trouble or persecution, they fall away. And I've seen that because there are some people who will dip their toes in the waters of faith, but since they're not willing to go all in, when there is trouble or difficulties or persecution, they fall away, and their faith, their surface level faith isn't able to maintain them. And then there's the seed that's sown on thorny or weedy soil. And that represents what we would call a distracted heart. And these are the folks who hear the word, and they start to grow, but then they get caught up in the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, is how Jesus describes it, and it literally chokes the word, making it unfruitful. And man, I think that's one of the biggest challenges for Christ followers today. We've got so many concerns. Our world is crazy. It's fallen apart. We let those take control, and then we start to see other things that are vying for our attention over God, and then God no longer becomes our priority. And what Jesus says is those are the kinds of hearts that aren't going to produce a legendary faith. But then he says there's seed that was sown on the good soil, and that represents a devoted heart. And that's where we want to end up and where we want to land. And that's someone who hears the word, they understand it, they take it to heart. These are the folks who are all in, and they're the ones that produce a crop that yields multiple times what was sown. Now, I think Jesus was trying to be honest about the pressures that are going to compete with you and I really staying faithful, because he just wants us to be aware. You know, staying faithful to God over a lifetime is going to be a challenge, because life constantly pulls our hearts in different directions. And being a Christ follower will include, is going to have to include us being willing to let go of our grip on our life, not always having to choose the path of least resistance, and making sure we keep our focus on God over the long haul. And again, when I think about a legendary faith, I just have to share, it reminds me of my own parents who were and are godly people. One time, though, early on in their marriage, they were preparing to actually go to Korea to be missionaries until the whole thing kind of fell through. And they really had to change course in that moment pretty quickly. And even though they provided a godly home for their four children, there were still a lot of challenges that they went through. There have been some divorces. There's been a lot of sicknesses and illnesses. One of their daughters right now has cancer. They had a grandson who almost died from leukemia. They had a granddaughter who took a fall out of a second-story window and landed on the concrete driveway, massive brain trauma. She got better, but that was hard. And there were just a lot of other bumps along the way. And what's interesting to me, all that time they've stayed faithful, and what finally took out my father at the age of 93 was cancer of the mouth. Even though Dad had never smoked or drank or chewed, I never even heard a bad word come out of his mouth. That doesn't cause cancer, but that was true. And yet I watched as Dad loved and trusted God to the very end of his life. And I've got to say that even now, my 92-year-old mom so often just repeats the refrain about how much God has blessed her, how thankful she is for her life and for God's faithfulness to her. And their faith has lasted a lifetime. But you know, not everybody's does, and I want yours too. But it doesn't, because faithfully following Christ is not going to be easy, because life is going to pull us towards control. It'll say, you need to be in control of your life. It's going to pull us towards comfort. You need to do the things that are comfortable for you. And it's going to pull us towards distraction. It's going to try to get us to stray away from our full devotion to God. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to communicate in the story about this farmer sowing his seed. And it's why living a legendary faith will require you to really let God's word have access to your heart. That's one of the reasons why we keep encouraging you. You need to spend time in God's word every day so that his truth gets into your heart. You need to put down some deep spiritual roots and make sure they're getting stronger there. And then you're going to have to make sure you keep God your main thing. And what Peter's life teaches us is that God specializes in transforming imperfect and even impetuous people into lifelong, faithful, courageous followers of Christ, and that would be my hope for every one of you. And so before we jump into the study of his writings next week, I just want to remind you, Peter has one final lesson for us from the beach on being restored by Jesus. Because, you know, after Jesus described the challenges that Peter was going to face, and I think he was feeling some of the weight of that, here's what we're told in John 21, verse 20. Is that Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved who was following him. And when Peter saw him, you know what he did? He said to Jesus, "Hey, Lord, what about that guy? What's he going to have to go through? What is he going to have to face?" And Jesus answered, "Hey, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You're going to have to follow me on the path that is yours. You're going to have to trust me through the things that you go through. It doesn't matter what happens in his life." And remember how we're all so different and yet we're all so the same. I think most of us here, I know I do, have a tendency to kind of compare our lives to other people, what they're going through compared to what I'm going through. But see, none of our faith journeys will look the same as anybody else's. We have to just decide, I'm going to be faithful to Jesus through the life that I live. And so the million-dollar question today really is, regardless of what anyone else does, will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus? And will you follow him every day for the rest of your life so that when you get to the end, you'll have a faith that's legendary? And that's going to be your choice, whether you're 10, whether you're 20, whether you're 50, whether you're 60, whether you're even 98 years old. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for just showing us the struggles that Peter went through. Thank you for showing us the victories, the amazing things that he was allowed to do because he chose faithfulness to you. And Father, I just want to pray over every single person in this room this morning. God, I want to ask that when all of us get to the end of our life, we will have a legendary faith because we didn't give up, we didn't quit, we didn't stop. We stayed faithful to you regardless of what we went through, the hardships, the disappointments, the discouragements, the failures, that we stayed faithful to you our whole life. And we'll have an opportunity to hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I pray that for everybody here. And even for those who've not taken that step, God, would you pull into their hearts, lean into them the conviction that they need to surrender their lives to you. We pray for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.